Good morning, I'm Anna Palmer.
And I'm Jake Sherman.
And welcome to the Daily Punch, brought to you by Punch Bowl News. It's Friday, March 15th, 2024, TGIF. Let's get into the mix. Here are your Washington headlines of the day. Number one, we've got a new era on Capitol Hill for Israel. Number two, wait for it, Speaker Mike Johnson wants more government funding deadlines. And number three, what House Republicans are saying about abortion. All right, Jake, let's get into it. We are leading Punch Bowl News this morning with a look at how Congress has a different viewpoint, particularly Chuck Schumer, on Israel, and how for decades support for Israel and its leaders was basically unquestioned in Congress. U.S. politicians never criticized Israel, certainly not in public, and certainly never called for a government change. But Thursday, we saw an extraordinary moment, one that underscores how the war in Gaza and the controversy over Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu may have permanently altered the Democratic Party's relationship with one of America's closest allies.
Yes. Well, a few things to think about here. The relationship between the U.S. and Israel has been it has been one in which it was not acceptable to criticize, especially during times like this. Israel's in an existential war right now against Gaza, against Hamas in Gaza. Typically, in these kinds of situations, the United States Congress and the United States government has been careful to not wade in. Now, Chuck Schumer yesterday went to the Senate floor, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, that is, went to the Senate floor to announce effectively that he wanted Benjamin Netanyahu, Israel's longtime prime minister, and a controversial figure at that, to be ousted. I mean, he's calling for a change in government. It opened up a rift, an international rift between the United States and Israel, in which you had the Speaker of the Knesset say that he is careful not to weigh in on domestic politics. And this was effectively said that Schumer's words contravene the reciprocal respect that should define our relationship. Obviously Mitch McConnell, was very, angry and, critical of Schumer. We had Michael Herzog, who was at the House Republican retreat, in West Virginia, say that Schumer's remarks were counterproductive to our common goals. Now listen, I just said this to Brez on text, and I want to make this absolutely clear. Two things clear. Number one, the majority of Democrats will still probably support aid to Israel under almost any circumstance. Number two, this has been a slow build, Anna. Like, this is not only the war in Gaza. This is not only Netanyahu. It's a lot to do with Netanyahu, but it's been building since, I would say, 2014, 2015, in that range. The Iran deal, Democrats were wary of settlement construction in the West Bank. Before that, they were wary of settlement construction in Gaza before Israel disengaged in the early 2000s. So this has been a long time kind of friction, I would say, between the Democratic Party and the government of Israel over a variety of policies. But we just quote Democrat after Democrat this morning, who has said Peter Welch said it's a new era. Mark Warner basically said Netanyahu's never been shy about expressing his preferences in American politics, which you and I remember when Netanyahu came up to Congress and spoke about the Iran deal at the invitation of John Boehner. I went after that with Boehner when he went to Israel to visit Netanyahu. I went with McCarthy when he spoke to the Knesset. I don't think Nancy Pelosi was ever invited to address the Knesset, not that I know of, at least. So this has been a long build, and this is coming to roost.
Very interesting stuff. We'll have to see if anything else develops, particularly when it comes to funding for Israel. which I think a lot of people feel like is just stalled as part of a larger package that there's questions on. But I think clearly this reflects the more complex relationship and the ability and the willingness of lawmakers to publicly say things that they've probably said behind closed doors for quite a while. Let's move on to the number two story of the morning. Speaker Mike Johnson, he told House Republicans at the annual House GOP retreat that this week that he may create four government funding deadlines. Woohoo! Can you imagine next year instead of two, according to multiple sources? This year, Johnson pushed, of course, four and was able to split the 12 annual spending bills into two different deadlines, which Congress is still struggling over. Johnson said that next year he'd consider splitting the 12 bills across four deadlines if Republicans are still in charge. What say you, Jake?
Yeah, I mean, listen, this is, you know, I don't know what to think here. I think Johnson's trying to make the point that he wants to make the government funding process. He wants as many bills as possible. He wants, you know, he doesn't want it to be a big, he doesn't want these to be big spending bills. I get all of that. But this dovetails right now, Anna, with the problems that Democrats and Republicans are having in wrapping up fiscal year 2024. Susan Collins of Maine, we scooped yesterday, I believe, in the PM edition. Yeah, it was the PM edition that she told Republicans behind closed doors that she didn't see a path to a bipartisan deal on DHS funding. Appropriators have already begun drafting a continuing resolution to fund DHS through the end of the fiscal year. Another possibility is, excuse me, a short-term stopgap that buys more time for negotiations. There's also a big issue on UNRWA, which we reported yesterday, which oversees aid for Palestinians, not only in Gaza, but in Israel, Jordan, all over the Middle East. The Republicans are saying that they want to block UNRWA funding. Lindsey Graham said he will not support one dime in funding for UNRWA. And I can't see Republicans folding there. This just highlights the problems with spending, how Johnson is trying to not rig the process in a bad way, but change the process next year. Should he be, I mean, I don't know what Johnson's thinking here. I mean, I guess he is assuming that Republicans keep the majority and Republicans also want another 2 years of Mike Johnson, which I don't know the answer to that. I don't have a crystal ball here on March 15th, but, you know,
two big questions, though. We don't know the answer to. Let's be honest.
Yeah, we don't know. I mean, I wish everyone the best. I think it's what an interesting time to cover Congress.
But I mean, the bigger question is, I mean, government funding, the idea that we're going to be spending every quarter or however he sees that divided up is not what has been historically what Congress has done, right? They wanted to focus on other things beyond just government funding, and this would certainly put us into a different category where kind of every couple months you're dealing with the possibility of not funding something.
I mean, who the hell knows how often he makes these deadlines? I think that's a fair question, but I will agree with you here, which is it just will make constant rolling government funding deadlines.
All right, let's move on to the number three story of the morning, Jake. House Republicans are in White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia at the Greenbrier for their annual retreat, and abortion has come up. How Republicans are talking about it after getting outspent and outmessaged on abortion rights during the 2022 midterm elections. House Republican leadership knows the issue is a major problem for their candidates in 2024, but instead of trying to ignore the battle over abortion access, the topic has come up time and again. During the GOP retreat this week, they've decided on their own solution. They're urging Republicans in tough races to aggressively confront Democratic attacks and define their own positions on the campaign trail. It remains to be seen whether tackling the issue head on will blunt Democratic gains, Jake.
They are trying to effectively say this is a state issue. We have no view on it. Now, I don't know that that's going to fly, especially when it comes. And we had an item last night on IVF. Mike Johnson is saying, well, this is not something Congress has to be involved in. Let me put it this way. Democrats are going to hammer the hell out of Republicans on this. This is like they are looking to have effectively like hey, we're not involved here. response, and a "Hey, we're not involved" response is, I can't imagine it flies in. I will let you have a view, have a your say on this, because you're much more knowledgeable on this, on the politics, because you, I know that because you and I have talked about it a number of times. But I think Republicans are banking on the fact that they could just say, this is not our issue, this is a state's issue. I don't think that works. What do you think?
I think it's tough. Listen, I think you look
like half a view on it, right? That's what they want.
Yeah, I think if you look at all indicators, public polling, I think if you look at the last, what's happened in states like Kansas and Ohio, clearly the current tactic of Republicans and how they're messaging on it has not worked for them. I think IVF has put this into even clearer or more focus for a lot of Americans, and I think that Republicans are struggling here. It's an issue that they're clearly not messaging where a lot of public opinion is, right? I mean, you have this. We state a recent Quinnipiac poll from the crucial swing state of Michigan found 2/3 of voters think that abortion should be legal in either all cases or most cases, and just 28% of respondents polled said abortion should be illegal in either most cases or all cases. November, a Wall Street Journal NORC poll found nationwide support for abortion access nearing a record high. I just think that where Republicans are and where you look at public sentiment on these issues, they're clearly in a different place. And the fact that this is coming up time and again at the House Republican retreat is a reflection of the fact that House Republicans have not found a winning message on this issue. You know, whether or not they're going to change, I don't see them changing strategy or changing their position, but this is going to be something that Democrats, to your point, I think see a weakness in Republicans and are going to spend a lot of money making this the issue when it comes to the 2024 election, and would love and feel like they can be on offense on. So we'll have to see whether or not that sticks, whether or not something else emerges as the key issue, but certainly something where Democrats are going to find and spend a lot of time talking about.
Absolutely.
All right, with that, thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it. If you like the Daily Punch, please share it on social media. Tell your friends about it. You can also sign up for our free morning newsletter at punchbowl.news. All it takes is an email. We'll be in your inbox Monday through Friday before 6 a.m., going deeper on everything we talk about on this podcast and more. Have a great day and stay safe, everybody.